So, Father, we just we thank you for being with us tonight, Lord. We just thank you that tonight's going to be a blessed night, that the equipment is going to work perfectly, that the bandwidth is going to be perfectly, that the software is going to work perfectly. We just thank you for just providing this time together, that we can be in one accord, that we can be with other like-minded, you know, believers in the Word, and you're just seeking after your truth and seeking to be overcomers and seeking to be in the bride. And we just thank you for just perfecting us, Lord, just bringing us through the trials and you know, just perfecting us in just different areas of our life, Lord. And we just thank you for just giving us the hunger for the truth and this time to come together and just share as far as what you're doing in our lives, to pray with each other, share dreams, to share just what you know Christ is all about. And we just thank you for that, Lord. So, Father, we just call tonight blessed and just put on everybody's heart to share what you're showing them, the revelation you're showing them, the dreams and truth and testimonies. And we just thank you for just working in all of us for your goodwill, Lord. And we just thank you that tonight's a blessed night. And we just let us glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and start like we usually do. See if there's any prayer requests, prayer needs. Anybody want to need prayer or want to pray for somebody? So let's open up to prayer. Does anybody need prayer?
Yeah, Tim. My youngest daughter called me earlier this afternoon, and they're catching a flight out of Tulsa on their way into Nashville to be up here around her mother and her stepdad. And then they're going to, I think their stepdad is probably going to take them and drive them on up here to see me to visit for a little bit. But my youngest daughter, Connie, asked if we would pray for her. She's terrified of flying. So I tell her that the Lord will have his hand under the airplane and guide it onto the ground, and no problem. But anyway, Lord, I just lift Connie up to you and Kathy as they're flying, that you'll keep them safe, and that, Lord, that they'll be blessed visiting their mother and stepfather and me as well. And I just give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, right now we just bind up that spirit of fear. We forbid it to manifest in Connie right now, and we just thank you for just putting your peace in her and putting her in the rest, Lord, and that she's going to have a, you know, just a blessed flight. And Lord, just use that time to, you know, just to draw her to you, just put you on her heart, just allow her to, as she's looking out of the plane at you know, what she sees in the clouds and that she sees you, Lord. She sees what you created, and we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the rest and peace over her, and just bless her and bless her trip in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we thank you for blessing her time with Kurt, and just give him wisdom as far as to be led of you and to speak what you have led him to speak, and that he'll just be in the rest and not be into works or have an agenda, and just to be weak to the weak and just be led of you. And we just call that meeting to be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for blessing that time together. All right, who else wants to pray, needs prayer?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Michael Herr.
I'd like to pray for my wife. She's kind of stressing out right now. The hot water heater went out in her, at the house, and she's having a hard time finding anybody to help her out. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for putting your hand on her, and we ask, Lord, that you find somebody that can change that thing out, put a new one in there, Lord, without just trying to rob her In Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a quick fix for her. It'll be done in the morning. And Lord, she'll have hot water and everything will be cool again, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Lord, I just ask while I'm at it, Lord, I just ask that you put the fear of God in her as concerning the scriptures, that she would, that the scriptures would become relevant to her. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to grant repentance to her and draw her to you in a mighty way, Lord. And I've asked and I pray and I'm believing that you're going to give her a dream, a vision, or a word of knowledge or something to that effect that will affect her whole life, Lord, that she would turn to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Who else needs prayer or wants to pray? Or has somebody on their heart to want to pray for? Well, all right. How about anybody want to brag on the Lord? Any praise reports they want to share?
Well, I got one.
All right. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing fine.
Awesome.
It's going to take a little bit.
That's fine. We got 2 hours.
A couple of years ago, I came down to UBM and I brought some PA equipment to give to the brethren for their music ministry. And at that time, they didn't have any place to store, and they gave it to, or they asked another UBM member to store it for them, who had plenty of room, and he did. But since then, the gentleman, he became factious, and he broke away from the community. Well, a couple of weeks ago, one of the musicians there, I'm trying not to use any names because I don't want to point any fingers at, you know, but one of the musicians contacted him and said, hey, can you let us have that equipment back? And the individual that had left said, no, you'd only give it back to me. I mean, I don't know what the problem was. I live 250 miles from him. The individual that wanted it, that I gave it to originally, he wanted it back, and he's only 50 miles away, so I didn't understand the rationale of that. But we had a running email.
Hey, Tim. Tim,
yes, sir?
Can I interrupt just a second? I want to clarify something. Okay, I want to clarify something right here. We've had warnings from this individual. I'll tell you who it is. It's Paul Rama. You need to know that this man has done evil against UBM. He's stolen 300 silver coins that was given to UBM. It was given to him to dole out to people that were in need in the UBM fellowship. He took that money with him when he left. And then when he left, he also took this PA equipment, good stuff, real good stuff. We could utilize it in the services that we have outside. And anyway, he took that. And what he did, he didn't want to talk to anybody from UBM, but he would talk to Tim, the man that gave it to the UBM musicians. So I wanted to clarify that. And something else that I wanted to put out there is that he told Tim that he had people in the conference call that were relating back to him what was going on. Let me tell you something about factious people. The first thing they do is lie and steal. They do both of those. They lie and they steal. And he's done both. He's actually proven to be a very evil and subtle man right now. He's gone from being spirit-filled, and then now he's gone in under the law by going back into Judaism, going into Judaism. And Tim, I think You might even address some of that. I don't know much about it other than they go back under the law. And that's what happens to the factious people. They get out from under what God's told them to do and get into something that they can justify by works. And it happens every time. I'm telling you, we had another guy that left here that had an agenda, came here. He left. We didn't look. Paul left on his own accord. He left because he had been found out doing some stuff that he shouldn't have been doing. But anyway, I had another guy that left here that was spirit-filled that went into the Mormon church. Had another guy that was working here or doing the work for God. And then he left under faction and went back under Judaism, the law. So I'm trying to clarify this to let you know what's going on. What we suspect is happening is we've got another a guy that left here that went to work for a faction guy and then got faction all over him. He left, and what he's doing is listening to the conference calls and relating back to Paul and Michael Yager what's going on. And that's what we suspect. We don't suspect anybody in the conference call. But anyway, now that I clarified that, Tim, go ahead.
Okay, well, like I said, I inherited this PA equipment from a church that I was going to that folded. I was in part of the music ministry, and they asked me to store it for them because it broke up. And that church was searching for its Jewish roots, and that's what God called me out of to come to UVM. The church folded. I ended up with this equipment, and I've been spending on it for 8, 10 years. And when I saw what the need was down here, I said, hey, I'll give it to you. I don't need it, just collecting dust on my second floor. But anyway, Paul contacted me, and in the emails that were, between him and I, back and forth, he would give me one sentence in a three-paragraph email about what we're going to do with the equipment, and the other two-and-a-half paragraphs would be scathing accusations against the people in UVM about how you know, they don't know what's going on, they're all full of demons, da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, this went on for about a week, the emails back and forth. You know, I was advised not to meet with them, and I consulted the Lord about it, and the Lord said, no, Tim, you know, this is a problem that you're going to have to deal with. And so we had to meet this past Friday to get the equipment back. Now, he kept telling me that we were going to meet at a Cracker Barrel there in Tennessee, that he was going to come there, and if it was raining, he was going to set it out on the parking lot. But if it wasn't raining, he was going to sit on the parking lot. But if it was raining, he was going to put it up underneath the awning, and I could just come there and pick it up. Well, his emails never said to me that he was going to wait there until I showed up. It just sounded like he was going to drop it off. I showed up an hour later. If it was there, great. If it's not, oh, well, it's gone, you know. So my final email to him was saying, you know, you have not told me that you're going to stand there with the equipment. We will meet face-to-face. If we do not meet face-to-face to get this equipment back, I'm going to have to turn all these emails over to UBM, and they can go to the I live in Virginia, so I wouldn't have a whole lot to stand on being in Virginia, but UBM is in Tennessee. They could handle it there. Finally agreed we would meet at the Cracker Barrel, and he would stay there with the equipment until I showed up. Now, the night before I went there, I was very, very apprehensive. I was worried. I wasn't worried about the equipment. The equipment doesn't really matter to me. It's just stuff. It's all going to burn anyway. But what I was worried about was getting slimed by the demons that he has in himself now. And the night before I went down there, I was, like I said, I was afraid. I was apprehensive, and I started praying, Lord, I shouldn't be fearful. I shouldn't be this. And then I remember when Jesus went in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he was sweating blood when he knew what he did. Well, I wasn't sweating blood because I wasn't facing near what he did. So my apprehension, I felt, was somewhat justified. The next day, we agreed to meet at 2 o'clock here in Virginia to go visit him. It's about a 4.5-hour drive. And it's going to sound a little weird, but the whole way down there, I've made this trip many times. Every time I got to a rest area, I had to stop and drain my bladder. Now, that never happens. I only drank about a cup and a half of coffee. Now, I drink coffee like it's, you know, like you're pouring it out of a boot at times. I couldn't understand what was happening. So I finally found out. When I got to the Cracker Barrel, I pulled into the Cracker Barrel. I saw Paul's Suburban. He was just walking and climbing out of his Suburban and walking back behind it to go through the Cracker Barrel when I pulled up to meet him. We had gotten there within 30 seconds of each other. The parking spot was open to right next to him. I pulled into the parking spot right next to where he was parked. We transferred the equipment in 3 minutes, and it was over. It was over. No waiting, no problems. It, you know, that was a pure blessing from God for me to travel 250 miles and get there within 30 seconds of him. And we got all the equipment back. Everything works fine. There's nothing missing. All you say is praise God that everything went smoothly, because it was definitely God, because he's the one that had it all under control, not me. And Paul didn't have it under control either, definitely. But throughout this thing, all the emails were very, very accusatory towards everybody in UBM. I mean, he's bringing up people in UBM that had absolutely no basis bearing on the equipment, that weren't in the music ministry or anything. He was bringing them up and saying how what was wrong with them. You know, it's just pure accusation over and over and over again. I praise God. I'm dealing with a bunch of people that don't live like that. But like I said, he's gone his way. I've gone my way. We have not corresponded since. And I just thank God it's all over. Anything I forgot, Michael?
Well, the only other thing that I would add is that he was very vitriolic at first against the brethren here. And on his emails that Tim was talking to him, until Tim finally told him, he said, look, you need to return that stolen stuff back to UBM. And because right now you're looking at grand theft. And that's when he actually calmed down and started talking to Tim. Is that basically what happened to him?
Yes, sir. That's it. Once I said I would have to turn it over to the authorities, he got very conciliatory.
Yeah, and even apologized to you, didn't he?
Yes, he did. For the misunderstanding, he said that was there where he hadn't explained to me that he was going to sit there and wait for me to get there to get the equipment. Now, we had about three different emails back and forth about meeting for the equipment. He never said he was going to take it out of his truck and set it there and wait till I got there. Then he was going to leave so we wouldn't have to deal with each other face to face. That's what he told me when I finally got there. But,
right,
you know, that, you know.
Okay.
So that's what happened. But, you know, he was there. We transferred it over with no problem. 3 minutes, yeah. It was over.
Praise God. What we do now is we just pray for Paul and Vicky and pray that God would restore him. Boy, it looks really tough right now for Paul. He's really done a lot of bad stuff. We love Paul and we love Vicky and we're praying for him. But when you have faction coming against you, we go by the scriptures, and the scripture says to separate yourself from them, not to even greet them. And when you don't greet them, that means don't greet them. Don't talk to them. Don't accept phone calls from them. Don't accept text messages from them. Don't accept emails from them. Don't accept anything from them. Because I'm telling you, that demon, that faction demon, you may not know this. We've had quite a bit of experience here in the last 4 years with that demon. It is a bad demon. It will jump on you just by talking to somebody or just listening to somebody. It'll jump on you. And then you'll be faction, and then out you go out of the body of Christ. And that's what happens. That's what happens invariably. If it's the husband that gets faction, then you can look for the rest of the family to get it too, because if they don't repent. And that's what's happened almost every case that we've seen come through here. And what happens is God moves them out. We don't kick anybody out. We can by the scriptures, but we haven't had to. God has done it himself. And it's been really an eye-opener for me, and it's been a cleansing of the body. And, you know, we hate it when these things come up, but you have to know about them in order to pray against them. And be sure that you're prayed up against that type of thing, and you have to obey what the Scripture says, and the Scripture says to not to even greet them. Because that's a bad demon. Well, all right, Tim. Thank you very much, and back to you, Tim.
Well, all right. Well, I think it's, you know, I think it's interesting that, you know, I know we got a few new people in here and really don't understand this, you know, this factious demon. But, you know, really what happens is it's, you know, if it's like the Lord gave me a, you know, kind of a, kind of a type, and it's like, you know, you're shopping at a a grocery store, and you don't like the, you know, you don't like the way the produce is being just, you know, showed, or, you know, something like that in the store, and you want to become the produce manager. You know, so you can show the produce the way you want to show the produce, or bring your own produce in. And, you know, you're told that, you know, you can't be the produce manager, that we really don't need a produce manager right now. So instead of, you know, going and, you know, finding another store to shop at, you want to basically close down that store. Because, you know, they won't hire you as a produce manager, or, you know, it's like a weird thing. Like, you know, you need to do everything in your power to put that store out of business. And, you know, and that's what these demons are like. I mean, it's coming against the Word of God, because there's so much, what I would say, fruit, you know, or unleavened bread, you know, in this ministry. And the enemy does not like, you know, what is being brought forth. And the thing is if you're going to walk the crucified life, you got to be crucified. You got to put the flesh to death. You got to put your pride to death. You know, if you're dealing with any unforgiveness, any judgment, any criticalness, I mean, that's all got to go. And the Lord gives you grace, and if you justify, and you want to hang on to those demons, and you want to hang on to that flesh, you know, eventually he's gonna turn up the heat. You're gonna be exposed, and an overcomer wants to repent. He wants to be right with the Lord. He doesn't want to justify his demon. He doesn't want to justify his flesh. But when you get that factious demon on you, it wants to, everybody else is wrong. It wants to justify. It goes into anger, goes into railing. It wants to pit people against each other. And really what it wants to do is it wants to destroy the ministry. And, you know, it wants to take down, it wants to take down everybody as far as with it. So what it tries to do is it tries to use emotions. They can be very emotional. You know, they try to, and that's trying to sway your flesh. You know, they try to buddy up to you, or you know, try to sway you in your emotions, because all it needs you to do is agree with them. And but it's really a way of cleansing the body, because if there's, you know, like Michael said, that, you know, after the first and second admonition, you need to refuse. You know, so typically the people that have gone factious, they've been addressed. You know, they've gone to them. We've gone to, you know, to pray. Michael Hare and I went to go pray with Paul, along with David, and you know, we just went to talk to him, and that thing just flared up, and it was a to me it was a very humbling and a very sobering experience when you see somebody you love, you care about, that has been totally taken over with rage and anger and jealousy and, you know, just, you know, knowing that the truths through this ministry, they were drawn to and they were, you know, teaching and preaching and everything like that, because the truths in this ministry had set them free at one time. And then the next thing you know, that's all thrown out the door and everything is wrong and everybody involved, you know, in the ministry is wrong and I'm right and you're wrong. And you know, they start to try to divide people to themselves. And it's a very ugly spirit. It's a very selfish spirit. And it's a very dangerous spirit because what I've seen, it's really put the fear of the Lord in me, is not to have any pride in me, not to be puffed up, to be right with the Lord, not to be critical, to forgive. You know, I've seen other people go factious because they would not forgive. And, you know, when it was brought to them, they wanted to justify instead of getting their heart right and getting right with the Lord. And what happens is the Lord basically, you know, will reprobate these people. They'll take the knowledge and the truth that they've had, and they'll just pop it out, and next thing you know, they're going back under the law, or they're going into Mormonism, or whatever it is. And but it's just, you know, it's the Lord working. You know, we've gotten dreams about some of these people the Lord is going to rescue. And some he's not. And so it's a very serious, serious thing that I've seen. And it's kind of interesting because you just, you know, you think, how can somebody have so much truth in them and then in the next moment be in deception? You know, and, you know, I was really... I don't know. It's just something that you just see the Lord in it. You know, it's just, you know, he gives us grace, and he wants us to walk in what we know, and especially, you know, if we're teaching others, and you know, if we're teaching and preaching it, and you know, whatever. I mean, we need to be accountable to the Lord. And, you know, we can't be a Pharisee. We can't be a hypocrite. You know, we can't, you know, lift ourselves up over people and think that we're better or anything like that. And, you know, we can't look for praise of people and that. I mean, that's what the Pharisees do. And, you know, it was interesting when I was reading when John the Baptist came. I mean, Jesus really hadn't even come on the scene as far as his ministry. And the first thing he was doing was basically rebuking the Pharisees, calling them serpents, and you know, how are you going to escape the wrath to come, and telling them that the axe is, you know, at the root of your tree, and those that don't bear fruit, you know, are going to be hewed down and burnt with an unquenchable fire. And I mean, that was like, I mean, that was, you know, right before Jesus. It was, you know, that's it was like, you know, and you know, we can't put ourselves in a place of being a Pharisee and being a hypocrite. That we need to, as we get the truth, the Lord expects us to walk in it. And, you know, he'll give us grace. But, you know, a lot of times we're in trials. And, you know, some of us, you know, have hard times getting out of trials because we're not crucifying that flesh. We're justifying that flesh. We're trying to protect self instead of, you know, putting self to death. you know, he expects us to walk in that truth. That's what this the crucified walk is all about. It's walking to the cross, your cross, and following after Jesus. And you know, and you just, the self has got to go. So I don't know. It's a very humbling thing. You know, we just, you know, pray for Paul and Vicky. You know, they're great friends, and it just saddens. And you know, but on the other hand, it puts the fear of the Lord in me, you know, when I see these things happen. So, all right, Michael, you're going to say something.
Yeah, I did want to say that as far as the 300 pieces, the silver coins, we had a lady and our husband that gave UBM 300 pieces of silver, and the Lord told her to give it to Paul to distribute out to people who were in need. And she had a word from the Lord before that Paul was kind of on the side. You know, he was evil even back then. And she questioned the Lord about it, and the Lord told her, yes, I want you to give it to Paul. And actually what it was a trap that the Lord was setting up for Paul to see if he was going to obey what he told him to do. And she sent it to him with a note saying that this was to be distributed to the people in need in UBM. Well, at the time, he had three people that were coming to him all the time, and they were kind of common around each other, you know, that were in need, and he never helped them. So that's just pure evil and deceit and theft. So anyway, after that, she had gotten a word here just the other day. The lady had gotten a word from the Lord that Paul was going to go into captivity, and that the money would be returned to UBM. So we don't know if it's going to be a FEMA camp, or whether it's going to be jail time, or whether or not, you don't know, you know, but that's just something for, just, I wanted to put that in there, just, you know, just in case he's listening. Anyway, thank you.
Kim?
Yes, sir, Michael.
I just wanted to share a little bit, kind of along the same lines of some things that were stirring my heart a little bit. I just wanted to say, you know, it says in the scripture in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, now thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, to prove you, and to see what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you, suffered you to hunger, fed you with manna that you did not know, nor did your fathers know, to make you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. One thing one brother said about these days that we come into, he said, crisis reveals, an absolute crisis absolutely reveals. And, you know, there's a house on the rock and a house on the sand, the hearers and the doers. He said, he that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him to a wise man which digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. The rain descended, the floods arose, the winds blew, beat upon the house, but it stood, for it was founded on a rock. But he that hears these sayings of mine but does not obey them is like a foolish man without a foundation, who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods arose, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the ruin of it. The doers and the hearers will be revealed in this hour. And all hearts, and this is really a heart issue, more than anything else. I think of that scripture in Jeremiah 17 that says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the living God. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and shall inhabit a salt land that is uninhabited. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and in whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreads out her root by the rivers, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. Neither shall be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. This is a time of revealing. Hearts are being revealed. And, you know, the whole thing, you know, I was reading in John 5th chapter, and Jesus not only didn't seek the honor of men, it says he didn't receive honor from men. He would not receive honor from men. That's what it says. The most amazing scripture, I do not receive honor from men. I believe that's the heart the Lord wants in all of us. You know, that one of the things that gets revealed is when you try to, there's a couple things that will really bring out the substance of a man really quickly. And one of them is whether he can receive rebuke, whether he can receive chastening, whether he can receive exhortation. It says, he that rebuketh a wise man, he will be yet wiser. A wise man receiveth rebuke. He's quick to say yes, because he can't. We all of us see in part. You know, we don't see our own hearts sometimes. We need our brothers and sisters to bring us into perspective, because like any one of us, you know, we may not have a full picture of our own heart. But Jesus would not seek the honor of men. Not only not seek it, he would not receive it. And if we're in the right place in our walk before God, we're going to be in a place where we do not care whether we're liked, whether we're hated. In fact, it's pretty much a sure thing that we're not going to be liked. Jesus said, if you were of this world, the world would love its own. But because you're not of this world, I've called you out of the world, you'll be hated by this world. Jesus said, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they've hated me, they're going to hate you also. The day's going to come, they'll kill you thinking they do God a service. And Jesus was not popular in this world. He came into the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And he's a man, it says, a man of sorrows, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And that's really the lot of a, if you're going to be light in this world, the scripture says, and this is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that does evil hates light. Neither comes to it, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth will come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest as having been wrought in God. And this is a time when, if we really are true in our hearts right now, we're going to be in a place where we're seeking that honor from God. We're not going to care whether we are in the limelight, whether we are popular, whether we are unpopular, whether we are on the front stage and known and heard and seen, or whether we're in obscurity in a closet somewhere with the burden of the Lord on, in prayer, never seen of anybody but God alone. If we're in a place where we truly have a true heart before God, we don't care what people think. We're not seeking that in the least. It doesn't mean bit to us. Because if we can have the true heart that's before the living God, that has been birthed within us by the Holy Ghost, that heart doesn't care what their lot is in this life. If they can just have a testimony at the end of this race that they honor God and that they please him, if they could have that one word, the most wonderful word in the world, well done, good and faithful servant. If they could have that from the living God, from the heart of the living God, I'll tell you what, there's nothing in this world that means anything. And when we're in a place where we're having to put forth ourselves to be seen or to be known or to have a name or to be popular, if we're seeking that, we're still leaning on the arm of flesh, and we're still dwelling in the parched places in the wilderness, a barren land, a parched land, a place that's salty and no inhabitant. That's the land that's the man that trusts in man makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the living God. We don't. If God can take a man, God can take a man from the bottom dungeon, Joseph, from the bottom dungeon, and lift him up and make him rule over the land in one day, in one hour. He can take Moses after 40 years in the wilderness, dwelling out there with the sheep, in one day a bush is on fire. He'll take that man and put him into prominence if he wants him there. But brethren, if he doesn't want you there, you don't want to be there. You don't want to be in a place where you're known and seen and heard. That's one of the greatest snares in the country. There are many, many people who have had all of a sudden been put in prominence, and it took them down because their hearts got lifted up with pride, and they didn't have yet the dealings of the wilderness that brought them to nothing. So they saw that they had a clear brokenness that came by the dealings of God's wilderness experience, where they knew their own heart. They saw the capacity of their own heart. They saw the desperate need for the regeneration of the Holy Ghost in their own heart. As one brother said in years ago, and I think it was Alexander White, he wrote a book called Bible Characters, a marvelous book. But that brother said, I have searched and known the depths of wickedness in no other heart but my own. And if we really see the terrible capacity of our own heart, when Jesus said, if you all being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, and when Jesus was at the rich young ruler, he said, good master, what must they do to inherit eternal life? He said, what do you call me good? There's none good but God alone. And when we really see things in the light of the majesty of God, in the light of his holiness, in the light of his purity, brother, we recognize that all we are, it's an awesome, profound work of grace that God should call us children of God. What manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God? It's a marvelous thing that we should be adopted into the family of God, adopted as sons of the living God. It's something that we need to walk in humility before. What do we have that we didn't first receive from God? And if we received it, why would we glory as though we received it not? And we have, you know, as it says in here, that Christ Jesus, he said, you see your calling, brethren, hath it not many wise men, not many mighty, not many noble are even called. But God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise, the weak to confound the strong, the things which are despised, the things which are nothing. Has God chosen to bring to naught the things that are, so that flesh will not glory in his presence? But now Christ Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. And brothers, I tell you that the temptation, you know, it says, be followers of those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. And it says, speaking of Abraham, and we see that after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promises. It says in fifth chapter of James, 10th verse, it says, take my brethren, the prophets that have spoken in the name of the Lord, as an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. And behold, we count them happy which endure. For you have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. How that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. In Hebrews 10, I think 34 or 5, he says this, cast not away, brethren, your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward, if you have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. There's patience involved in this process. In Psalm 105, he says, God sent a man, even Joseph, whom they sold as a servant. He was sent by betrayal. His own brothers betrayed him, and he was sold into prison. And some people say 11, some say 13 years in prison. But it says, and until the time that his word, so it says, his feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Do you know what the trying of the word of God is? It means that you're carrying in your bosom that planting of the Lord, and you have the witness in your spirit, that which God has birthed within you, and there's the deepest longing in your heart to bring that thing forth, but to wait for God, to wait till God brings it forth. Not to put yourself forth, not to put yourself forth at all, but to wait for God to lift you up and to give you that opportunity, that season. That's the thing that it takes patience. What he says in there, to take my brethren, the prophets that have spoken in the name of the Lord, as an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. It was the long seasons of breaking in the wilderness before God brought forth Abraham, before God brought forth Moses. All of these men had their long seasons of breaking and crushing in the wilderness, where they had to be deeply acquainted with the terrible capacity and the pathetic capacity of their own heart, to where they were in a place where they were, when Moses was called on by God, he says, Lord, you got the wrong guy. Maybe you need to talk to my brother Aaron. He's far more fluent with words. He can speak. I'm not. His confidence was destroyed. And quite frankly, God wants to destroy the confidence of every man. But brethren, the trying of the word of God is carrying within your bosom that planting of the Lord, that which you know God has birthed within you, that longing to see that deep desire to be planted, to be spent, to bring forth eternal fruit. But on the other hand, recognizing clearly that you can't do a thing in your own self. You can't bring it forth. If you do, it's going to be a sweat equity effort. It's going to be despised by God like the priest that wore the woolen garments. He doesn't want anything that causes sweat. When God brings it forth, it's going to be not by might, not by strength. not by power, but by my spirit, so that all the glory will be of God. Because when God brings something forth, it's something man cannot do with the strength of man. When God brings Joseph out of prison, makes him ruler over the land, there's nothing he could have done to manipulate that situation any way he tried. When God takes Moses and puts him before Pharaoh with the anointing he had to reveal the judgments on that land, that's something man couldn't do. And brethren, when God brings forth the true gift and planting of the Lord, there'll be resurrection life that comes out of the death of yours truly. It's not going to be something you can do. It's going to be something, brother, that you're going to wait for the process and the long seasons, the long breakings, when you die quietly by yourself, when nobody sees the wrestlings of your heart, when you travail and agonize before God, knowing that God's put something within you that has validity, that's planted by heaven. But you can't bring it forth, and if you do, you know good and well, you'll mar it, you'll spoil it, and it will never bring forth eternal fruit. But to be in that place where you'll let that word of the Lord try you and bring you to that place where when it comes forth, it's going to be resurrection life, and it'll be something that you had no part of except yielding to the process of getting out of the way. But a true man of God, that's the test with all of us. Are we going to try to get our finger in the pie to bring it forth? We know we got something. We know we have a planting of the Lord. But brother, you put your finger on it and it'll destroy it. It's got to be resurrection. It's got to come forth by God. He's got to orchestrate the circumstances. He's got to anoint it. He's got to bring forth that life from that dead corn of wheat so that he'll bring forth much fruit. And brethren, quite frankly, you're going to see a lot of brothers and sisters that don't endure the process. Again and again, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The temptation is to faint, to drop back before the fulfillment of the vision, to get your hand in the pie, to try somehow to bring it forth, to put forth yourself. But Jesus would receive no honor from men. And brother, if we're in a place where we're truly seeking the honor of God, and we have a pure desire and a pure motive, believe me, it's precious to the Lord, because it's rare in this hour, especially in this nation. And brother, God will bring it forth. There will be a time. There will be a season. There will be a manifestation. If we endure the process, if we wait for the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, and if we will seek the honor that comes from God alone.
Amen. That was powerful. That was awesome, Michael. Thank you. Man, that's what it's all about. That's what this walk is all about, is the breaking and the crushing of of the old man, of self. And it's all about humbling us and proving us, and to see what our true heart really is. It's our heart is really our thoughts and our, what drives us and stuff like that. And if we're just putting on an act on the outside, and God knows our thoughts, God knows our motives, He knows our heart, and He's that self has gotta die. And it's got to be revealed, the Christ in us, and that's what all these trials are, is to reveal our heart, reveal our thoughts, bring up that flesh, bring up those emotions and anger or frustration or criticalness and that, so we can deal with it. That's what's got to be broken. That's what's got to be crushed. And so the love of Christ can come out of us. And, our hearts really have to be revealed. That's what, that's really what His will is. And that's what this, this walk is all about. And we can't be puffed up. And, as Michael said, men love darkness, but servants and sons and, children of God, we got to be drawn to the light. We got to go up to that light. it's the things that we're, what comes out of us when nobody's around, not to be seen and stuff like that. What kind of darkness comes out of us? Sometimes we act like God never sees it. And, He sees everything. He knows every thought. And that's, that's really what he's really exposing the capacity of our heart, and He's working in us. He wants us to walk by faith and walk in patience and be humble endure, you know, endure the this walk he's put us on, and not draw back to perdition. And if we allow that anger and jealousy and frustration, you know, to mingle in there, you know, he could, you know, do what he's done and, you know, reprobate us and, you know, make us a vessel unto perdition instead of a vessel of honor. And it's, you know, and he's turning up the heat and things are going to get crazy in the world and time is getting short. And it's really, you know, are we going to abide to the word and are we going to be overcomers? I mean, we just got to, that's what this is, you know, this is all about. You know, it's just getting the leaven out of our lives. Well, Michael, that was awesome. Thank you for sharing. Amen. All right, anybody have any comments, any thoughts on what Michael just shared or anything that was stirred up in you?
That was a real good, I'm trying to look for words here, Reader's Digest version, and Michael did an excellent job on it of what God's doing now. He's exposing, he's bringing the hills high, as it says in Isaiah chapter 40. He's bringing the hills low, the mountains and the hills low, and the valleys high. In other words, he's exalting the lowly people of God, and he's bringing down the proud people of God. And I see this today. I get frustrated when I see people that allow these demons to work in their life and they don't want to get rid of them. And right now is the time to get rid of everything that's not of God. And we can't stress enough of what kind of where we are right now. I saw a deal from Lindsay Williams today, by the way, just to show you where we are. And most of you have heard about Lindsay Williams. He's a pastor that buddied up with one of the elite, he calls them, some of the elite men in the world. And he claims that they told him, and this came out today, I believe, when we got the text, that one of the elite told him that by September the 15th, we would have a new currency, I believe it was, and by October the 15th, the New World Order would be in place. That's, you know, we've had some prophecies concerning that as well. And I'm telling you this because of one thing, to let you know that, hey, we're in dire times, and the only place, the only place that we're going to be able to make it through the wilderness that's coming is in the ark of Christ. And that's essentially allowing God to do that work in you, and you are submitting to the Lord, absolute surrender of your life to him. As we talked a little bit about that Tuesday night. But that's where we are right now. We all need to just surrender to God and say, God, you've got it. I need to get rid of the flesh. I need to get rid of the world out of my life. Praise God. And Lord, I want to be used mightily of you. I want to see you more than I want to see the world or my flesh be satisfied. So, Michael, that was real good. And I'm probably going to pull that one out and put it in miscellaneous. Thank you so much.
All right. Anybody else have a revelation or a comment?
Yeah, Tim, it's Gail.
Hey, Gail.
Hi. My question always seems to be the same one, and that is, how much do we use self-control, and how much to to deal with the flesh. As and how much of that is from us, and how? Because I've found that I can't do it, so I have to go to. I have to ask for help because my emotions come up so immediate. They're so immediate. I mean, there isn't a moment there. It seems like there's no space there. So after I get myself together, I have to get, if I'm really am distraught, I have to be alone and I have to take time, and then I have to find the quiet space and talk to my Lord. Please help me. But I had a feeling that we, you were talking more, that we have to do more than we do. Am I halfway clear? Can you help me?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I think what you're asking is, you know, I mean, the whole thing is the Lord has got to do it in us. And what I'm saying is that when we come into the knowledge of the truth, you know, we need to walk in that knowledge. And, you know, we do fail. I mean, there's certain things, there's certain, you know, I dealt with, early on, I dealt with kind of anger and rage and criticalness. But I had to start taking those thoughts captive. And when I would get critical or I would get angry, that wasn't my will, that was my flesh. And I would just take it to the Lord and says, Lord, you need to take this out of me. I repent. You know, what I said was wrong, or what I thought was wrong, or that comment was wrong. And, you know, I got to the point where I wasn't justifying my flesh. And I was, you know, I was praying. I was asking, I was confessing to others. I was asking prayer of them. And, and then I had to get to the point where I had to figure out the root of, you know, what was stirring up these emotions, or what was stirring up these thoughts. I mean, some of the critical thoughts was pride. You know, I thought I was better, you know, and the Lord revealed that. I thought I was better than other people, so I would kind of look down on them or judge them or whatever. So I couldn't just say I'm sorry. I had to start digging in and trying to figure out what was the thought, where did it come in, what was the root, you know, stuff like that. Some of it was stuff that was inherited through my bloodline, and, you know, I got set free, you know, through prayer and deliverance. You know, some of it was, I was turned over to the tormentors because I was in unforgiveness. And, you know, I had to get my heart right. I had to forgive. I had to, you know, just work on those core things. So as the Lord revealed them to me, you know, I would repent and I would just, you know, give them over to them. But then when the enemy came in and tried to bring them back, oh, look what you did or whatever it was, I was like, no, I repented. Yeah, you know, because the accuser will always come in and try to accuse. So it's a battle. I mean, it's spiritual warfare. That's why they call it warfare, because you're dealing with your flesh and you're dealing with spirits. But the spirits have a right because we've allowed them, because of, you know, something that we have justified or you know, something like that. Or, you know, we've inherited them through, and, you know, we need to break some soul ties, or, you know, generational curses or stuff like that. So that's kind of my testimony. I hope some other people could come in and share, you know, their thought on it. Anybody else have?
Yeah, you did a fine job of pretty much saying what was on my mind. I want to bring one scripture to you, and that's Philippians 2 and 13. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God does the work in you. And as you learn what God wants from you, then every time that this anger flares up or this bitterness flares up in you, you should be getting a little more control of it, a little more control of it each time, you know, and each time, it's not going to happen overnight. It never does. But as you learn more about from the Word what God wants from you, somebody needs to mute. I'm hearing a lot of noise here. Okay. As you learn what God requires from you, then you should be becoming more overcoming of that particular sin that's happening. It, you know, like I said, it ain't going to happen overnight, but it will happen gradually. And at some point in time, you're going to come to the realization, hey, this thing is defeated. Praise God. And it's God that's doing it in you. It's not you doing anything. You're helping God by being conscious and knocking down those vain imaginations, you know, bringing those down. But it's God that's working it in you. And when you submit yourself, Lord, I can't do this myself. I've got to have you to do it. I submit this thing to you. I submit this anger to you, Lord, and I'm just gonna have the faith to believe that you're working it out in me. And then you act on that faith. Okay? Does that make sense?
That's very encouraging. Thank you. Yeah. It doesn't happen overnight. That's I needed to hear that. And learning where some of this is coming from, you know, the negative emotions. It's really, I think a lot of it comes down to pride, because if I feel offended, you know, that's my flesh that's been offended. You know, if I feel attacked, you know, I'm certainly not. That's my flesh is attacked. I mean, the Christ in me wouldn't be offended, right? So it's always vanity. It's always ego, it seems like. You know, I mean, who are you to criticize me? You know, I know more about it than you do. What are you talking about, you know?
Well, any time that we try to justify ourselves, that sometimes pinpoints rejection that you may have had in your life. And that could be the root right there. I don't know. What do you think, Tim? Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
No, I was talking to Tim.
I'm sorry. I was talking the way I was muted.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I agree. I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, is any of this, it sounds like this is, speaking to it, Gail.
Tim?
Go ahead, Michael.
I just was going to make a comment about what the dear sister said, and that is that, you know, there is that contrast. What the scripture that Michael shared part of was the same one that I had on my heart. But the first part of it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The second part said, for it is God at work within you, both to will and do of his own good pleasure. That seems like those two are opposite to one another. But I think it's like the scale of a balance. And I believe that, you know, I think that really, to me, the key scripture is in John 15, where he said, I am the vine, and you are branches. Every branch that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. But if a branch abides in me, and every branch that does bring forth fruit, he says he purges it, that it may bring forth much fruit. But if a branch does not abide in me, is withered, men do gather them, and they're thrown in the fire. But the whole thing is we are branches. Jesus said, you can do nothing of yourself. And really, I believe that, you know, he talks about the fruits of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and the fruits of the Spirit are manifest, which are these. The carnal mind is enmity, but the mind of the Spirit. And it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh that we should live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of our body, we shall live. For as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Another scripture says, you are elect, this is in 1 Peter 1, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. But it's still the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. And God is going to bring us to that place of obedience, but it's really a contradiction, because in one sense, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But if a branch doesn't abide, he's going to be withered, gathered of men, and thrown in the fire. The whole key is we need to abide in Christ. We need to learn to dwell in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit's going to lead us to the mortification of our own natural man. And it's not a sweat equity thing. It's a yielding. It's I've heard the story many times. I think that the original guy was a friend of mine that had the story about the two dogs. Because this friend of mine, he told me this story in 1970, I think it was, or 71, probably 70. And he told me he went to an Indian reservation and preached the gospel to these people. And one young man was very promising, turned to the Lord with an earnest heart. And he came back a year later and said, young brother, how are you doing? He said, it's like I have two dogs fighting in my heart all the time. A white dog and a black dog. He said, which one wins? He says, the one I feed the most. And if we... if we've got a television set and we're sitting there watching, what's going on the television, and we're listening to secular music, and we're messing with the internet and just let it take our time away, we're going to find ourselves feeding the wrong dog. But if we'll come in this place where we'll dwell in the Word, we'll think on things above, bring our thoughts captive, hang out with brethren that are going to encourage us, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. And just begin to feed that spiritual man that has a different appetite than the flesh. And we'll find that beginning to overcome the planting of the Lord, that man of Christ that's been birthed within us, will begin to overcome and overcome. But it seems like a contradiction, but I think it's abiding. I think it's abiding and cutting off and severing that which feeds the flesh and that which draws us aside.
Amen. Does that help, Gail?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, sometimes I'm in a state like if I go out into the world, just down the street, it's dangerous. You know, there's attacks out there, right? So I say, I need to do that anyway because I need to learn to have faith that I'm protected, that I'm not being attacked, that's their problem, right? But on the other hand, maybe I shouldn't expose myself to what is, it often puts me in a pretty distraught state after, so I don't know which, and I guess a little of each, right? Hiding out and going out both, right?
Well, when you say you go out into the world, I mean, is it to go out shopping or to go out to do something you need to do? Or is it just to go out there
go out for an errand or visit or, something, an activity that I'm going to,
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, we need to go out and, run our errands and do our shopping and stuff like that. We're just not to partake of the world. It's just, when you're at the checkout, you don't want to be reading all the magazines of everything going on and, getting sucked into the lust and the vainglory and all that the world is, trying to offer out there. But we still need to go out there. And, a lot of times I just pray in the Spirit when I'm out there. And if I see things, I'll just kind of, pray for people and that. And, you can't be boarded in, as far as that. So is that what you're saying?
Well, for example, I meet with these people like a couple of times a week for lunch. And it's, the atmosphere is like, going to be a little, I feel, like an underhanded negativity toward me, okay? So I say, okay, well, maybe it's my imagination. So then I go back again, and then something else. I go, I'm not imagining this, So finally today I said, maybe I just don't do this anymore. Maybe this thing is old now, and maybe they would just assume that I didn't show up, you know. So I guess that's an example of should I avoid situations where I may be attacked, or I probably will, or go out there and do the best I can with it. That's my question.
Okay. Well, I guess it sounds like you may be discerning spirits that are on these other people, you know, and, you know, the Lord might, you know, you might be, you know, discerning some things, and you just, what I would suggest, and I don't know if anybody else has any other thoughts, is, you know, just ask the Lord, just, you know, allow him to show you, you know, in the word, in a dream, you know, something like that, as far as, are you supposed to be fellowshipping with these people? You know, it's if they're dragging you down, you know, if they're dragging you down emotionally or speaking against you or being critical towards you or something like that, why you go eat with these people if that's it, you know. So if something like that is happening, then I would say, you know, just, you know, seek the Lord and you know, if you're supposed to be, you know, fellowshipping with these people.
Yeah, Tim, that is what I did today. I sat down with it, but I hadn't slept much last night, so I fell asleep. But that's what I wanted to know. That's what I tried to do, is to have some guidance there or some understanding. If the Holy Spirit would show me more of what's going on in that situation. So I guess just stay with that, right?
Try to find out. Yeah. Go ahead. What's
up? Yeah, this is Dave. I was just going to ask, do you feel like it's this relationship with these people has ever been a positive thing? Or is it more geared towards, you know, worldly talk anyways and doesn't really benefit you spiritually? I mean, how's the direction of this group?
Yeah, it's pretty superficial, you know, but it's a short, you know, it's like a half an hour we meet. You know, it's just, yeah, I mean, I can definitely live without it. Yeah.
I think the closer you get to the Lord, the more you get serious about your relationship with Jesus and walking with the Lord. And this group here, I mean, your focus on the world changes, and because of that, your desires for fellowship is changing too. And so now you're starting to look this over and think, well, you know, this really isn't where I want my life to go. That's part of the problem. That's what you're seeing, the conflict. I have the same thing where I'm at too. The people I love to talk to are the ones that talk about the Lord, and everybody else is somewhat at a superficial level, and you can't go too far. It's like David Ellis said a comment once, you know, whenever you're going to talk about something to somebody, you just can't go up there sometimes and just bring something up that is going to cause a problem, because you can't bring up a topic that's that requires too much time to elaborate and get worked out, because if you bring up something too serious that's going to offend them, they're going to want a separate company from you in the first place. You know, you whatever you're talking about, especially at the spiritual level, it's got to be something that you have to read the group you're with and understand how well they can receive what you're going to say, if it's not going to take them too far in the time you're with. So if it gets to, if I were to talk to somebody at work, let's say, about these end time events we're very much aware of, some people couldn't receive this, and after that, it would probably break my relationship with them really quick, and for a period of time, just because the topic is too broad, you don't have the time to talk about it, and you can't, you know, elaborate far enough where they're going to be able to withstand what you're saying. So this is part of the problems we're having with our conversation with people we have today. We're at more of a spiritual level, but we can't have that with everybody. We can't enjoy that. We can't elaborate. We can't feel it out for ourselves and grow where we need to grow. With this group, we can do these things, and you're getting that. You're getting fed. You can talk about pretty much anything within a spiritual level, and we're all going to be there. You go outside of that, you don't have that environment, and it's kind of hard to find it. That's probably where you're finding your problem here with with the groups now. That's what I see too also. Just so you can understand that.
Yeah, this is true. You know, that's why these conferences and the ministry is so important to me. You know, it's my connection to the real world.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I found as I just started growing in the Lord that I would get around some friends or even family, and the conversations were just tended to be negative and talking about other people or talking just total vanity. I mean, stuff that just really wasn't important. I was getting to a place where I didn't have anything in common because really they were of the world. And I'm growing in the Lord. I'm growing in the kingdom. And, you know, the kingdoms are, I mean, they're totally separate as far as that. And you know, I've got a peace and a joy in me, and they're kind of miserable and murmuring and complaining and this and that. And if I tried to bring up the Lord or, you know, a testimony or something, you know, like that, and I did this just recently. I was in Ohio. I was sharing a few testimonies what the Lord was doing, and, you know, my sister, I mean, they did not want to hear it. I mean, they just kind of waxed over. We're just kind of a dead stare, and I just knew I just couldn't go there. So you know, so that's just what happened. So that's really why we have this fellowship, so we can, you know, come together and just, you know, talk the Lord and talk testimonies and ask questions and stuff like that. So and share, you know, what the Lord is showing us. So but I think that's what, you know, what's going on. Amen.
Thank you so much.
All right. So, Father, right now we just lift up Gail to you, Lord, and we just ask, Lord, that you just give her discerning of spirits, Lord. Just allow her to, if that's what you're showing her, Lord, just to understand how to use that gift and walk in that gift. And Lord, if these people are supposed to, you know, if she's supposed to keep these people in her life, we just ask you just reveal it to her, Lord. Reveal it to her in her heart, Lord. Reveal it to her in the dream. Just, you know, just guide her, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. We just, you know, we just come against any, you know, just fear of going out in the world or being slimed by the world. And Lord, just help Gail to keep her eyes on you and just to be led of you. Just teach her to be led of the Spirit. And we just ask, Lord, that she wants to, you know, put this flesh to death, and you know the things that she's dealing with, Lord. And I just ask, Lord, you just reveal any roots, any, you know, anything that's there, Lord. If it's pride, if it's you know, anything from her bloodline, we just ask, Lord, you just reveal what these roots are. If she's justifying anywhere, we just ask, Lord, that you just show her, Lord, because she wants to be free, you know, from this, you know, this bondage of her flesh. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And we just thank you that truth will set her free. And Lord, just give her a hunger for the truth and just allow her to just start seeing in the Spirit, seeing your word in the Spirit, and being led of you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Gail.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. All right, anybody else? Faith in their heart.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I just wanted to give you an update / partial testimony. This is the last one at this point.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead then.
I remember about a month ago, we told you about the situation that we're being forced to move. So we decided to give it over to God to choose a place for us. And so far, there's been a lot of lessons. First of all, you know, we found the first home by chance, and they seem to be open to our financial situation. However, when we met with the real estate agent to see the house, she wouldn't turn her back to look at us, and she was writing or on the phone, and she knew that we had to travel a very long distance to meet her up in the mountains, yet she treated us really mean-spirited, like we were nothing, you know. And we went up to look at the house, and she wouldn't even go in. She yelled at us just a couple of minutes after we got into the house, and she said she was late and she needed to leave. So we got back to the office, and he said, "Well, I guess you want an application." And the whole time she was very mean and talked down to us. And on the application, she increased the price by like $100. And since then, we've tried to email her a few times to lower the price and to see if the house was still available, but she hasn't responded, and, well, we don't know what happened there. But then a second house appeared also in the same city, and we went up to see it, and this time the realtor was really, really nice to us, and the whole situation was like a total opposite of the first house. And this realtor really liked us and liked her a lot, and it seemed like the house had a few problems with it. Like, it needed new paint, new carpet, and they couldn't do it, so she talked to the owner, and the owner agreed to lower the price a little bit, and it seemed like everything was working great, and it was like a blessing, and we could see the power of God walking, like, right before us, and it was just amazing how it was opening such a contest from the first lady. So, and we asked for a confirmation from a Bible before we went to see the second house, and it was like Deuteronomy 14, verse 25, and it said, "Then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shall go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose." So, and we came back home, and received a call from the second real estate lady saying that it was all said, just get your papers and documents together and send it to me. And we went out and got all the paperwork to send to her. In the morning, I was about to send it to her. We got an email from her that the house was taken away from her unexpectedly, and she doesn't have control over it, and doesn't know what's going to happen. And this is where we are at now, and we're really running out of time in our notice to leave. And you know, we were so sure it was done, and we were going to move in there. And now we have nothing else. And I looked everywhere, and there's nothing available anywhere in the area. And we're still having faith that God will find us a place. So we feel like there are a lot of tests and trials going on right now. So if you guys have any insight on this, or maybe if you could do some prayers about the situation, so it would be great.
Well, I guess, I mean, we can, you know, continue to, you know, just join our faith with you. I mean, it sounds like the, you know, the first situation wasn't going to be anyways, and then the second, you know, was looking promising, but it sounds like the Lord has got, you know, he must have something else for you. So, you know, you just got to, you know, just stand strong, just stand in the faith, and know that he's going to provide, that he's your provider. And usually it's at the very last moment, you know, is when he comes through. And because he's, you know, he tries our faith. He, you know, he just, you know, a lot of times you're like hanging over the cliff, and, you know, circumstances change, you know, as far as that. So let's go ahead and pray. And so, Father, you know, the needs there. And Lord, it, you know, looked like you opened up this door, and then the door closed. And so, Father, we just we know you've got a place chosen for them, and you know, I don't know if it's in that city or you want them to look in another city, but Lord, we just ask you, just you guide them. We ask you, just give them a dream. You give them just a word, you give them just a confirmation. If it's in another city or another area you want them, Lord, we just ask that that they don't miss it, Lord, that they get that confirmation from you, and they know it's from you. And Lord, we just ask that you just, you know, we just put our faith with them, you know, and we just thank you for just providing a place, you know, where you want them, Lord. Father, we just thank you for blessing them. We thank you for giving them patience, you know, during this trial. And Lord, we just thank you for just growing them up in you during this time. Just bless them, Lord, and guide them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. How much time do you have as far as in the place that you're at right now?
We have 2 weeks left. That's all.
2 weeks?
So, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much.
It sounds like it's a good trial. It's just stretching you and stretching your faith. So just thank you for that, Lord. Amen. All right, anybody else? Testimony, revelation.
Hey, Tim.
I was going to go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Jackie.
All right. Hi. I just came in a little bit, I guess. I wasn't sure exactly where you were, but excuse me. I'm losing my voice, which I'm rebuking. It just came back today. But I have a pretty awesome testimony of my niece, the one that we've been praying and believing for. Her boyfriend before this boyfriend, she was with about 10 years, and he was a really nice man. Most of my family didn't like him, but because he was a man of color, and most of my family suffers from prejudiced spirits. But my husband and I were the only ones in the family that welcomed him in, and excuse me, he was real nice, really nice guy, and they dated for a long time, and then they moved in together, and she knew our feelings on that, but she's older, so she was, you know, just living in the world, and she started having these strange accidents happening. She said she stepped off a curb and broke her leg in like three places, and the types of fractures she had in this, like the suddenness of the injury, like alarmed my husband because he was in the police field, and then me coming from a nursing field, it the type of injury she had was more from like a traumatic, like a hard impact, like, you know, of something where you just don't step off a curb and twist your leg and break it in those spots. So after that, a while later, she said she got mugged down in Southside, which is like a little suburb outside the city, and she got really beat up. She had bruising everywhere. She had busted ribs. I think she had fractures in her arm. She had the leg injury. So my husband at the time talked to her and asked her and confronted her, you know, if she was afraid or if she needed help or, you know, if her boyfriend was beating her. And she said no. And when I picked her up that day, you know, I said, well, you know, honey, how did you get mugged? And she said, they just wanted my cell phone. And, like, the stories just didn't seem to match up. So we were just really praying for her and reaching out. But she was so defending her boyfriend, and just out of love for him. And I guess she had fear of him. And finally, a while later, things were happening. He was on, I think he was on some drugs, not heavy stuff, but, you know, just smoking marijuana and such like that. And her dad was concerned, and my husband was concerned. And anyway, she just wouldn't budge on her story from him. Well, they ended up breaking up, and she saw him, like, on and off, and he got married after that. And we would always see his car at a local bar when we would drive by. She said, oh, you know, Rob's in there. And I was like, oh, you know, let's pray for him. And she said, oh, Aunt Jax, he just, you know, I'm just so worried about him. Well, here she called me yesterday, and she's like, Aunt Jax, guess who got saved? And I'm like, who, honey? And she's like, Rob. And I was like, really? And she was just so pumped up and, like, full of joy. And she said, he called me and asked, you know, may I speak to you? And she said, yeah. And he said, I got saved, he said, you know. And he was just praising God. And he said, you know, my life is all for Jesus Christ now, and I repented, and I am amazed that he's forgiven me for what I've done. And I guess after he separated from his wife, she left and went to Florida. He ended up in jail, and he just got out of jail. So like, I've been really praying for the prison ministry, and I've read in the past on the UBM site about Michael's testimonies, and I've told Michael how blessed I was by, you know, reading them as he was going through them at the time when he was, I guess, back in Arkansas on the prison ministry. And I've been praising God and praying for Stephen, you know, and the work that the Lord has him doing. And she said that he was so remorseful and so humbled and so kind. And I said, Shannon, that's Christ in him, because I said, you knew him, and, you know, and we all tried counseling you, and you were defending him, and, you know, you lied saying you weren't in danger, and, you know, you weren't getting beat. And she's like, I know I loved him, but I was afraid, you know, he would beat me more if I spoke up. And especially my husband, I mean, like, he dealt with that, like, in work, you know, a lot of domestic, so she could have felt comfortable, like, confiding in him, but she had so much fear on her. But she's like, I cannot believe the man that he's become. And I was like, that's because he didn't become. I was like, that's Christ in him. I said, it's so beautiful. You know, Jesus is so beautiful. And so she said he asked forgiveness of the Lord and repented. And then he asked my niece forgiveness and said, you know, the Lord has spoken to me and told me that I need to go back and tell people my testimony and show them the love. And he said, at the time, I was controlled by demons. And he said, I didn't even know what a demon was. I didn't know I had demons. I thought I was just an ugly, like, mean person. And he said, here, I know, like, you know, that wasn't me. That was demons controlling me. And like, Christ in me now is so full of love and joy. And he just had so much peace on him. And he witnessed to my niece. And it really spoke volumes and in her walk, because she saw, you know, how far he was gone and how mean and how much hurt. And he said, you know, that he's praying that she'll receive forgiveness deep in her heart, because he was explaining to her about, you know, Christ forgiving him. And if she doesn't forgive him, that, you know, she's not going to be saved. And, you know, and he caused her to stumble, and he felt the weight of this burden, but he said, like, the Lord lifted it from him when he got saved, and he's just ecstatic and, like, on fire for the Lord. So I was sharing this with a brother, I think yesterday, last night when we fellowshiped, it might have been today, I'm not sure, and we prayed, if everybody will just agree, because we prayed, you know, that the Lord would even bring him across UBM. I don't have any way to get in contact with them. And, you know, I'm praying, like, if my niece has a number, like, if the Lord would want me to call. But the group that he's under, we were praying for the, you know, the ministers or the preachers, so that he doesn't fall into any, since time's so short, that the Lord would spare him, unless the Lord needs to take him through that walk, but that he would just give him pure truth and what the actual word is, so he doesn't fall into a spirit-filled church that's still kind of under apostasy. Things that I think a lot of us, myself, I know I did when I went to the Assembly of God, you know, it was a huge step for me coming out of Catholicism. But then after I was studying the teachings of David and on the site, I started, like, I would sit in church, and I remember saying, that's not right. It doesn't seem to line up with the word. And, like, I would make notes, and then I would come home and study and read, and then I knew I couldn't go back because they were teaching some leaven truth. So his name is Rob. If the Lord puts Rob on anybody's heart, I would greatly appreciate it, because now he's a brother in the kingdom, and I'm just ecstatic for him. And his next venture is he's going down to Florida to try to restore his marriage with his wife. And, you know, he's hoping to bring her into the kingdom, that the Lord would draw her. And I'm still believing for my niece. Shared on here before that she did accept Christ at my husband's funeral because the pastor that did the service, you know, spoke to people about, you know, being saved and the need to do it now. And And the Lord used me as an awesome witness at that time because he had given me the perfect peace, and I was filled with, like, ecstatic joy all through Mac's funeral. I had no sorrow or no fear, no bitterness. I mean, I was just rejoicing on my knees, you know, with my hands raised to the Lord, and that spoke volumes to my family, the peace and the joy. And, you know, so many people said, I can't believe, you know, who you've become. And I was like, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit in me. I remember my brother kept saying, Jax, who are you? I don't even know who you are anymore, you know. And I was like, I have perfect peace about this, you know. And I felt that peace. So I'm hoping, you know, that my niece, I did plant a seed. I felt led of the Lord because her and this boyfriend lived together, and there was fornication involved. And I've talked to her about that now with that man that she's with. And I said, you know, Rob had to repent for all of that in relations with you because that was wrong, you know. And I said, you know, I was that way with your Uncle Mac. And I said, you know, I had to repent because when I came to the Lord, I didn't know, you know. So I said, you need to repent yourself, you know, for having, you know, relations with him in that way because, you know, the word speaks only, you know. And I'm trying to lead her or guide her as the word says for me being an older woman to, you know, bring in the younger women and children, like to teach them, you know, to serve the Lord and, you know, be submissive to their husbands and all those scriptures. And so she's been receptive, but she's still living in the world. And I know the Lord's getting her attention, and I'm still standing in faith, but I think the Lord used, you know, such a dramatic change in a man that she was involved with for 10 years and, like, you know, brutally beaten many of times, and to see him on fire for Christ and just filled with peace and joy, and to have him humbled so much, you know, that he's asking her forgiveness and witnessing to her how important it is because he caused her to stumble, and at the time he didn't know it. So I just praise God for the awesome testimony. And I'm just still believing, and I'm keeping Rob in my prayers and his wife too. I pray that her heart would be open, you know, and her, to receive the words that, you know, this brother will plant. And hopefully she'll understand, and I just pray for their marriage to be restored. So if you'll agree with me in Jesus' name for all of that. And again, I apologize for my voice because it's going somewhere. I don't know, but it didn't keep me from giving the testimony tonight. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And an awesome testimony at that. That's great. What's your niece's name?
Shannon. She's the one that had the flesh-eating bacteria. And,
oh, okay. So Lord is really trying to get her attention.
1 in 5%
What's your name
naked.
Again?
Her name's Shannon.
Shannon, okay.
Yeah, Shannon, and his name
one
is
One in five
Rob
bacon.
And,
okay.
Pardon me?
So she had, what was it, 1 in 5 actually survived?
Oh, yeah. Well, they said there's 750 people across the United States that get this flesh-eating bacteria a year. And when you narrow it down, they said like maybe five people live out of that many. Most of the people... 95% of the people die from it, and it came upon her so quick. And you know, I shared all that testimony when she was in the ICU, and you know, and she was home quick. And she's healing every day. She's healing, and she hasn't had any recurrence of it. They said it will take, you know, a year for the wounds to all close up, but we're believing it's going to heal quicker. And she's giving God the glory, and she knows, you know. She has a son. He's going to be 2 this week and or next week. And I said, you know, Father has his hand heavily upon you, honey, and he spared your life, you know, to be here for your son. And I said, you need to praise him for that. And she does. She does. She knows, you know, the seriousness of it. Because, you know, she had so many specialists and doctors talking to her and said, you know, thank God you made it. We didn't think you were going to make it. We didn't think you were going to pull through. And, you know, so she knows, you know, that the Lord is in control, and the Lord spared her, and that He's merciful upon her, and given her much grace, and that He loves her, and she's very grateful and thankful. So I just hope she turns away from some of the ways in the world. I don't judge her because I was there myself, you know. I just pray that the Father draws her and opens her eyes that she's able to see, and puts a desire and a passion and a hunger in her heart to want to live for Him and not in this world, you know.
Amen.
And I see Him working on her, so I know it's coming to pass. I know it's done because we've all prayed and you've agreed with me, and I'm strong, you know, in the prayer of agreement. And I can see changes just since it happened, and that was in March, so, and it's only been 3 months. So, and I think the Lord orchestrated this because, like, if you would have heard her, she was just like, I mean, she was jumping with joy. She was like, I can't believe he got saved. She's like, Him of all people. And she's like, and He's so full of Christ. And all she kept saying is, I love Jesus, you know, and I want to serve Jesus, and my life is about Jesus. And I was like, well, that's what it's all about, honey. I was like, it's not about us. We were created for Him and for His purpose, you know. And she said, yeah, but, like, all the stuff He was into. And I said, yeah, the Lord took all that on the cross. He turned away, you know. And He bore that for Him. And praise the Lord, the Father drew Him and, you know, and He's received Him and He's accepted Him. So when I was praying the other night, the brother did pray that I was praying with, that he would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you'll agree in that, and that he would come to know that he needs water baptism, the importance of that, too. So
yeah.
I'm just excited we have another brother in the kingdom.
I mean, that's, you just see the answer to prayer. I mean, you prayed for him, you know, a while back.
It's probably been almost 10 years we've been believing, me and my husband, for him.
And that's it. It's in God's timing. And, you know, but you just see an answer prayer there, and then praying for your niece, Shannon. I mean, I remember when you brought that up to us. I mean, that 95% of the people don't survive, and she survived, and she's giving God the glory. I mean, it's just awesome, awesome prayer. And just the love, you know, just the love of our Father, you know, and it's just, and that's why it's so important that we just pray for these people, and because you don't know what God can do.
And I guess the prayer of standing in faith, because, like, since they separated, I, you know, once in a while the Lord would drop them in my heart, but I'd say most of the time I really didn't think about them or pray for them. But, like, at the time, you know, Mac and I did for, you know, prayed, and we were believing, and like I said, we were the only ones, like, we welcomed him over here, you know, and we didn't judge him, even though we suspected what was going on, you know, because my family, the rest of my family, you know, didn't want to have anything to do with him and spoke bad things about him. But we're like, you know, at that time we were celebrating Christmas and stuff, so we would invite him over for the holidays. And, you know, our door was always open to him, you know, and you know, the Lord must have been planting seeds way back then, you know.
Amen.
But the prayer of faith, I mean, like I was saying, I kind of, not that I forgot about him, but I wasn't like nervously praying every day, oh Lord, please save him, please save him, please save him. You know what I mean? We prayed, and then I guess unknowingly I entered into the rest because I physically didn't see him anymore, and he was just trusted in the Lord's hand. So that witnessed to me to teach me a lesson that when I do pray, it's a done deal, and just to rest and not even to rethink it, but just praise God, like when he puts the person back in my heart. Well, thank you, Father, for delivering them. Thank you that you have saved them. You know, thank you that you have healed them, and not keep re-praying or re-asking. Like, it kind of taught me, like, a little bit of a difference about the rest, you know, the sabbatismal rest in Hebrews. So I praise God for that, too, because I learned from it, my niece learned from it, and the brother's saved.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's the key there, is to pray it, believe it, and just enter into that rest, and then just thank the Lord for it. Yeah, because if you keep praying the same prayer, then you're kind of in doubt that God's going to do it. But if you know by faith that God is going to do it, you just thank Him that it's done. And you just stay there and you stay in that sabbatismal rest until it manifests. And it might be 10 years, you know, but God's going to do it. But look, I mean, look at the excitement on this guy. And just him speaking into your niece and just talking, you know, just asking for forgiveness. And, you know, she's seeing the humbleness and she's seeing the Christ in him. And it's like, you know, who is this guy? I mean, it, you know, it's not him. It's Christ that she's seeing.
Amen. And it's beautiful. And that's what I said. I was like, honey, that's Jesus. You're seeing Jesus. I was like, isn't he beautiful? She's like, amen, Aunt Jack. So I was like, yeah. I was like, he's so beautiful. And she said, I just can't believe him. Like, she probably knows more because, like I said, she didn't share, you know, all the abuse when she was going through it. So she firsthand took it all, like, bore it all. And, like, and she's seeing how Christ forgave him, you know, for doing what he did to her. And like, she said, she thinks she forgives him. And she said, but he kept saying, Aunt Jax, I have to know if it's deep down inside. Do I forgive him from my heart deep down? And I thought, wow, this brother is really on a fast path. Like, he's speaking stuff like took me years to learn, you know, and he just got saved. So, like, praise God for whoever, you know, whoever he used as a vessel. But I'm guessing it was in the prison ministry. So, like, I'm really believing and praying for those brothers in the ministry to bring more and more into the fold.
That prayer is gonna pay off.
Amen. I'm excited.
This is an excellent testimony. I love these testimonies. It just what God does, you know. It's just we just got to stand in faith. And it is exciting. I mean, when somebody that's that messed up comes to the realization of Christ and gets set free of all that bondage, because we don't know what his past was and what he went through and all that, but all we see is Christ in him now, that he is, you know, that he is free. So, Father, right now we just lift up Rob and we just thank you, Lord. You're just awesome. We just thank you for saving him and just setting him free from the bondage that was in and giving him a renewed mind and in a spirit of repentance and humbleness and just wanting to be right with the people that he wronged. And Lord, we just thank you for that boldness. And Lord, we just ask that you just work in Shannon, that, that she sees what you did, you know, in Rob, that you just give her a hunger for truth. You give her hunger for righteousness. You give her hunger to, get that same excitement as Rob does, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you just bless Rob, that you just, we pray for reconciliation as far as with his wife, that you will just, we just bind up the principality powers, we bind up unforgiveness in his wife. We just ask, Lord, that you just work in here, that just give her a heart of flesh and just take away that stony heart. And that she will just see the Christ in Rob and want to run after that, Lord. So we just thank you for the reconciliation into that marriage. We thank you for saving her. We thank you for her salvation and just Shannon's, you know, total salvation, Lord. Just total running after you like Rob. And we just thank you for this awesome testimony with what you're doing, Lord. And Father, we pray that this Rob will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that he'll be water baptized, that he will just give him discernment, Lord, to, you know, to run after truth, Lord, and not get pulled into apostasy. Father, if there's any way to get a, you know, a sovereign God book to him, we just ask you to open up that door, Lord, that, just to give him more truth, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for these awesome testimonies, what you're doing in people's lives, how you're changing people, how you're setting them free, and how you're bringing them into the kingdom. And we just thank you for that. We just believe, Lord, that everybody that we've prayed for, that we're going to enter into that sabbatismal rest, and that you're going to bring our family members in. You're going to bring these, you know, the people that you've put on our heart to pray for, that that's all going to manifest because we're standing in faith. And it's going to be in your timing, not our timing. And we just thank you, Lord, for just all that you're doing. You're just an awesome God. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I just want to praise the Father for the refreshment in my spirit that when I heard this, I just got, it was like a renewing, and like it just like put a burst of joy in me and like just gave me a refreshment. I just feel really refreshed. Like, you know, I remember, I think Michael prayed that for Brother Chris the other night, that, you know, he prayed a prayer and asked the Father that he show him that the prayers are answered, because him being in the intercessory ministry, you know, to give him encouragement, and, you know, he's believing by faith, but, like, you know, we're all believing by faith, but, you know, when you get an answer, like a visible miracle or an answer that's just so there, you know, like, you know, that you see it, it's just like, wow, Lord, thank you. You're so awesome.
Like, no, I can hear the excitement in your voice. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm trying to lose it. I think Satan was trying to keep me from giving the testimony because my voice kept going and going, and I was like, I'm giving it, Lord, I'm giving it, because I'm really so excited. So just thank you, everybody, for standing with me and praying, because I love you all.
So, Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for totally restoring Jackie's voice, and we just rebuke the enemy from any attack on her voice, and we just thank you that it is healed and it restored, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for sharing that. That put the joy, that joy in you put the joy in me, and I'm sure it put the joy in some other people here tonight.
Yeah.
We thank you for
I'm really ecstatic. Yeah, praise the Lord. I give him all the glory because it's just awesome.
Amen. He's awesome. So,
he is awesome.
All right. All right, we're kind of out of time, so before we close out, does anybody else need prayer, want to pray, join in faith with you? All right, so Father, we just thank you for this awesome testimony that Jackie brought forth. We just thank you for just the awesome, you know, just truth that Michael Montana brought forth tonight, just everybody just that shared. We just thank you for just working in us, Lord. We thank you for all these testimonies, Lord, of just how awesome you are. And, Lord, just help us to stay in the baptismal rest. We thank you that you're going to bring forth everything we've been praying for. You're going to work in us for your will, Lord, your glory, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord. So, Father, we just ask you to just bless everybody this week. We thank you for continuing to give us just hunger for truth, hunger for your word, you know, just excitement for what you're doing in our lives. And we just thank you for just this fellowship, Lord, that we can come together and just, you know, be in one accord, be with you, share these things, get excited. And it's awesome. Praise you for it, Lord. So, Father, just continue to just give us that hunger, Lord, for this righteousness, and just guide us in these last days. We praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. It's been an awesome night.